You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill, and once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. That's what we're all about. We're on the other side of the so-called gay rights movement, which has a lot of power right now. And our website is AmericansForTruth.org. I want to get right into part two of our interview with Linda Harvey, who is one of my favorite Americans and pro-family activists. Linda is the founder of Mission America. She's author, and that website is missionamerica.com, by the way. And she's also the author of a book called Not My Child, Contemporary Paganism and the New Spirituality. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be back with you.
Well, it's great to have you here. And we got into your spiritual background last week. And anybody who did not hear the first part of our interview with Linda, it is available at americansfortruth.org. .com.net, whatever you feel like hitting. And there's a button that says Americans for Truth Hour. Click on that and you can listen to part one of our interview with Linda. But, you know, what I like about you, Linda, is that you are a Christian who looks at the Bible, what the Bible says, and then looks at the world and then compares the world to the Bible, and you use the Bible as your authority, not the world. And I think that's how Christians should behave and think in this world.
Well, and you do too, Peter. I mean, I think if there's anything about that in my background that would lead me to that, it would be the fact that I was not a Christian for so long. And to me, I sort of have the pre-Christian, you know, my old self, the old non-creation, and then the new creation in Christ. And comparing the two and the world views have opened my eyes to so many things. I very much see where these liberal ideas and the secular progressivism leads people to, and why the Bible is just so easy to understand as the truth applied to that. So it just became so crystal clear, and I think it is for many people. I think a lot of people just don't know what they can do or how to go about it.
Well, one common misconception, especially among a lot of our gay activist opponents, is that, oh, you know, we think we're great and we're just condemning them and we're so good and they're not. And, you know, it's not that we can never live up to the Bible, but there's the key thing is using the Bible as the standard and constantly working with God's help to lift your life or let God lift your life up to that truth standard. But
well,
you cannot compromise on that truth standard.
Right. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then and only then the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. And that's an amazing experience. When you begin to see your life transform, it's like having a light inside that starts to shine out. And it's not you. We're not little gods, and we don't have that light automatically. It's when you have believed, and the Holy Spirit then comes and lives in you, which is amazing. And it just helps in every way. You will not be perfect, but things begin to be possible that were not possible before if you're doing God's will and along the lines of His plan for your life.
And, you know, I think you probably agree with me. Many of the most successful people who call themselves, or they may not refer to themselves as ex-gays, people who once defined themselves in part at least as gay or lesbian, bisexual, many of the most successful people who've left that lifestyle have not done it really through therapy and counseling. They're born again Christians.
Yes.
They left it behind.
Right. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the folks that dismiss that are, you know, it just never ceases to, it frustrates me and angers me in a way, but it's also amusing in a sense that these very, very flexibly sexual people just cannot tolerate the one area of flexibility, and that's to leave homosexuality and go back to heterosexuality, to do what fits your body, you know, because that destroys their argument. So they have to discredit these people. They have to call them fakes whatever. And as Greg Quinlan, you know, both of us know Greg Quinlan.
Greg Quinlan is a former homosexual.
From Ohio. He's now living in on the East Coast and working over there in the pro-family movement. But as he said, you know, he got the accusations, well, if you've left homosexuality, you were never gay. And he says, you're right, I wasn't gay, and neither were you. When are you going to wake up and realize that? I mean, no one's born this way. And so they really want to dismiss the ex-gay movement, and it's sad. And of course, there are people that have gone back into the lifestyle. I mean, that's just human nature. When you try to escape something that's a habit for so long, and especially sexual habits, there are going to be people that just walk away and say, this is too hard. I'm going to just go back and do what's comfortable.
And Linda, one of the biggest concerns you've had and your work at America, I'm sorry, that's my group.
Yeah.
Yours is missionamerica.com, and I really encourage people to go to that website. We're going to be talking about some of Linda's articles, but she's a great writer. She comes from a communications background in her old secular days, and so she's a gifted communicator. But one of the things I know that really pains you and you find so troubling is that very, very young people these days are identifying as almost, you know, inherently gay or lesbian, you know, at like age 12, 13. Talk about that.
Well, and younger, and that the homosexual activist community lauds this, applauds this, they welcome this, and it's child corruption and seduction, particularly when you pair the fact that there is no research that supports the idea of an inborn homosexual identity. Then you take the high risk and the rise of HIV and AIDS and all of the other physical risks that homosexuality carries with it. Then the emotional issues going along with this. Why in the world? It's to me such a symptom of how we are so lost. We're increasingly lost in this country.
But Linda, they do it in the name of safety. That's the most galling thing.
Well, and that's even more insidious. It's upside down. It's evil of being good. And what's happened is people are being persuaded that this is right and good and true. And I think one of the indicators of a culture in free fall is when you really don't take care of and truly protect your young. And we're seeing that from the abortion movement to this high sexualization of kids, all for adult agendas. And it's just really, more than troubling. It's criminal.
Now, Linda, you've done work talking about adult agendas in exposing these homosexual centers in major cities across the country. Isn't that one of the problems with these centers? I can't recall the names of them. In Chicago, it's called the Center on Halsted. But you have these gay youth organizations in the same building where there are these incredible perverted events. I could just tell you one. I was in Chicago in the Center on Halsted where they had something called the a Rubber Man event, and I can't tell you what it is. It's a sadomasochistic perversion, but it was right there in the Center on Halsted in this building, which is, I'm sure, it's taxpayer funded, and yet there's also youth events and meetings and it's the such at
Isn't
those
it
same
called
places.
The Horizons Youth Center there? Isn't that their center?
It used to be. I think it's, well, yeah, I'm not sure what the youth organization is called, but the center is called the Center on Halsted. It's right in Boys Town, which is the gay neighborhood in Chicago. And it's, talk about this mixture, this exposure.
Well, in many communities now, of any medium to large size cities, you will have these freestanding homosexual, they call them the GLBT youth community centers. It's like a boys and girls club kind of thing, only directed toward homosexuality. Some of them are in the same buildings as the adult gay groups. Some are freestanding and they're not in the same group. Some meet in churches. Hello. I mean, it's just amazing. But what I found out, I had researchers do this for me. I found out that in Ohio, for instance, we have about five of these in the major cities in Ohio. They will accept kids 12 and up, and sometimes they don't look at ID. So if you're younger than 12, I know for certain they will accept younger kids. And the criterion the person that we talked to used was, well, if they're ready for it, quote unquote. And the reason is because there are youth centers 12 and up means 12 to 22. It's into college age. So you have young middle schoolers who can get there. You don't need parental permission. You don't need parental notification. You just have to show up. It's called supporting these kids who are at risk of suicide, they say, at risk of bullying, and that
they are high-risk kids, but the point is they're moving them into a high-risk lifestyle.
Yeah, and a much higher-risk lifestyle, and they're now, and if they are already troubled kids, and many of these kids are, and if they are getting bullied, and some of these kids do get bullied, although schools are fully empowered now to punish all of that, depending on the person's identity or what they think of themselves, but the kids are unsafe. Much more so if they're going into homosexuality. What these kids need is somebody to tell them the truth. You were not born this way. Do not go into this deviant sexual lifestyle. And don't start having sex with college-age kids and adults who you meet in these centers. And that's what they're doing. They're fast-tracking these kids into the lifestyle. So what they do is these kids go after school. They have computers. And, of course, you can imagine there's probably no filters on these computers. They have little safe sex workshops, some of the most graphic, awful things you can imagine. Bagley in Boston, for instance, that's the Boston Area Gay and Lesbian Youth Group, run by a transgender, a man dressing as a woman, Grace Sterling Stoll. They meet in a church, and they have a center that, or a workshop at the Center for Youth that's called, it's basically a sex workshop put on by peers, which can be college students again, and adults, and they talk to kids about how they can have group sex, anonymous sex, and so on, safely, quote-unquote.
Yeah, it's that safe sex lie, and the kids are suffering. We're talking to Linda Harvey. Lori Higgins was another great interview we did. We're talking to Linda Harvey. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We'll be right back. Our website is americansfortruth.org. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is Americans for Truth, all written out, americansfortruth.org. Go there and see what we've got to offer in response to the powerful and, I would say, very aggressive and very obnoxious these days homosexual lobby. Americans for Truth is an organization that counters the gay activist movement, as does the group founded by our guest, Linda Harvey, and that is Mission America. Her website is missionamerica.com. And Linda, I always get guilty when I look at your website because there's so many good articles that I haven't read yet.
Well, I'm the same with yours, and we can't keep, there's just too much to keep up with. But
there really is these days, and I'd like you to comment briefly on that. We are looking down right now the possibility under President Barack Obama of several very important pieces of federal legislation. We've got the impending possibility of homosexualizing the American military with a potential repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or the ban on open homosexuality in the military. We've got a federal domestic partners law. We've got ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which would federalize employment non-discrimination law, which means every state which doesn't have any homosexual legislation at all would now become a gay rights state. Talk about these bills, and what can people do to stop this?
They can, of course, should call their congressional representatives and tell them and make sure they know we will hold you accountable for what your vote is on this, because this is deeply destructive to our country. Votes do matter, and the people that blindly voted, many of whom were Christians, which really saddens me, voted for Barack Obama. They're now seeing, I mean, the fact that John McCain was not a perfect candidate, and we know full well he was not, but we would not have had a signed hate crimes law, I don't believe, with John McCain. We would not have homosexuality in the military. I do not believe we would have an Employment Non-Discrimination Act. We certainly wouldn't have the level of spending and the military, the dangers to our security, national security that we're seeing. This is a very, very misguided, seemingly charming and quite intelligent and well-educated man, but I believe motivated by deeply evil ideas. And it's too bad that the first black president that we have has to be a man of such low character. That's, you know, I wish we could have had a man of high character that Martin Luther King would be proud of. But we don't. We have who we have.
I just heard Walter Williams substituting for Rush Limbaugh, and boy, I'd take him as president over pretty much anybody in the country, I think.
Yeah,
so it's not a racial issue. It's an ideological issue.
Right, and I know tons of people who are conservatives throughout the country, Tea Party people, I can't think of one person that I know who's motivated by race. It's all ideas. Everybody I know says, gee, wouldn't it be great great black president. Let's get somebody who's actually a moral person of high character who cares about our country and will work to preserve what we have here that's so good.
Well, the problem with Obama is he's an elitist. He's a radical college professor out of touch with the world. The problem is he's now running this country, and that's pretty scary.
Well, he had a very, very troubled childhood. If you look at how he was raised, shuttled around between several that rejected him, a father, a stepfather, then a grandfather who put him under the tutelage of a virulent communist sexual deviant, Frank Marshall Davis. I mean, no wonder we've got what we've got.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a very, very troubling man and a troubled man, I believe.
Well, you know, just like you said, most conservatives, I don't know any conservative racists. I don't know any pro-family people who hate homosexuals.
No.
And that's the common charge, even among many in the church now, right? They say, oh, there's too much hate. But, you know, it's such a canard because do you know anybody? Do you work with people who actually hate people?
No. And there is, you know, that Fred Phelps element out there.
Fred Phelps is the guy who has the God Hates Fags sign. That's his message. And now he protests at funerals of soldiers.
Which makes no sense.
Really productive, Fred. Okay, so talk about this canard that we hate.
Yeah, there's no hate there. And you know what? I think people know that. All of the gay blogs, you know, the Pam Spaldings and all the people, Jeremy Hooper and all these people, Wayne Besson, they know that we don't hate anybody, but this is their position. Their best defense is an incredible, even if illogical and undeserved offense. They're going to go after, and it doesn't matter. And Christians better wake up and realize, you know, even the people that try the soft sell, you know, love the sinner and hate the sin, but really, really, really love the sinner and bending to the idea that homosexuality might be inborn and all. We have so many Christian evangelicals emergents that are going that direction. Doesn't matter, folks. They're still going to call you haters. They have to in order to prop up their very fragile argument. They have no argument, so they have to keep saying this. They will say it to their dying breath, and unfortunately, unless they repent, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be very, very sad for these folks. But
now I want to talk about, you mentioned emergent. One of the website articles on your website is called Emergent Church Heresy Growing, and you are writing, you have been writing about this false teaching that's creeping into the church on sexuality for longer than most of my people in the pro-family movement. Let me read a quote from that piece. This is by Linda Harvey. It's called Emergent Church Heresy Growing. You can read it at missionamerica.com. Linda, you write, truth becomes really unimportant in the emergent church model. The message is that Christ is not necessarily the only way to salvation, and we need to reconsider homosexuality and abortion and not be hateful like the fundamentalists are. The emergents engage in near-constant trash talk about the religious right. You put religious right in quotes, meaning those who want to expose this deception and remain biblically faithful. Youth are gobbling this up, especially those with little biblical background, because it is packaged as a way to embrace worldly sexual sin and still believe one is a quote, Christian.
Yeah, that I am seeing that among, you know, the kids I know. I mean, I'm the mother of two young adults, and they have an array of friends that are sort of quasi-Christian or not Christian, and boy, it's just so out there that these kids believe that you can call yourself a Christian, but you believe a different Christ. It's not the Christ whose blood was the one sufficient sacrifice for us to cover our sins. It's the Christ nice guy prophet who just is morphed into a designer God who's whatever you need him to be at the moment. And it's mostly mushy sentimentalism.
But what's motivating the need to not address the homosexuality issue? Is that it gets in the way of their sort of love everybody approach?
Here's what I believe it is. And going back to my days as a liberal, and you can see this throughout our culture, the worst thing you can be in this culture today, it's not hateful. It's not a person of low morals. The worst two things is boring or prudish. Those are the two big sins.
What about judgmental?
Well, that means you're prudish.
Prudish, that's right.
Prudish.
Okay.
So everybody is racing to prove to everyone else in their great insecurity, I'm not a prude, I'm not a prude, I'm not a prude. This is why we have such a large, mushy middle heterosexual straight group that is going along with the homosexual agenda, because they have been tutored by, again, the gay activist movement to believe that there must be something wrong with you. You must be deeply insecure about your sexuality or secretly homosexual or, you know, pick from the multiple choice list if you dare to question this. So people are racing to go to their side, especially our younger people who have been raised in the highly sexualized culture, to believe that the be-all and end-all of life is sexual pleasure. And so that's the label. They cannot abide, even in their own minds, the idea that they might not approve of something sexual, even as deviant as it is. So we're getting weirder and weirder and weirder.
Now, you said something important there. You said there's something wrong with you. In other words, they're transferring. It used to be universally accepted that there was something wrong with homosexuals, people practicing homosexuality. It was studied as a deviance. It still is studied as a deviance. But now you look at the homosexual activists, and what their long-term goal is to transform the pathology from the practice of homosexuality to so-called homophobia,
right?
People who oppose homosexuality. Now, homophobia itself is described so elastically. It encompasses now public, I think it probably would encompass just publicly stating your disagreement with homosexuality, or maybe even just abiding a disagreement in your mind with homosexuality. There's no definition to homophobia. It's anything that opposes the homosexual activist, the pro-homosexual movement.
Well, and you can imagine how our this is why this is so insidious to our kids. You're a middle schooler, hormones are beginning to kick in, you're going through puberty, and all of a sudden, first of all, you've probably been exposed to pornography if you're the typical kid on the internet these days. So you've already seen that, and that has all kinds of confusing stirrings within all kinds of kids. But on top of that, you're hearing people that have one homosexual feeling, you're probably born that way, and you dare not now find it repulsive. The yuck factor is off limits, because that means you're homophobic. And you're probably, if you have that feeling, probably it's because you secretly are homosexual. Talk about taking unformed, developing minds, bodies, and spirits and messing with them at the deepest level. This is satanic. This is absolutely a devious device of the devil and all of the evil that can produce in the young mind, where basically what you have kids who have no place to go in their mind, body, and spirit unless they have been raised as a faithful Christian and they understand and feel secure in how God actually made them. But the rest of the world, the kids' worlds out there, even these marginally biblically illiterate kids that go to these liberal churches or these where they're undiscipled in their youth groups, they are so vulnerable to this, and they may never confess to any adult the struggle they're going through in their minds. Who am I? What do I feel? What's right? What's wrong? Why can't I feel repulsion at this? You can. It's natural.
Right, right. And the kids are becoming the victims of this very politically correct ideology. I want to talk to you more about that, this idea of hate, where even the Christian pastors now are saying, well, you know, there's too much hate of homosexuals. I don't know a lot of people who hate homosexuals.
No, I don't know anybody.
I do know a lot of people who don't really hate homosexual behavior as God does. I know a lot of people like that. We're talking to Linda Harvey of Mission America. I'm Peter LaBarber with Americans for Truth. Our website, AmericansForTruth.org. Oh, hello, everybody. I'm Peter LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour. Our group, Americans for Truth, about homosexuality, is a response to the powerful homosexual activist movement. We're in part two of our interview with Linda Harvey of Mission America. Her website is missionamerica.com. Linda is one of the most prolific and articulate opponents of the homosexual activist agenda, but also pagan sexuality and these various movements that threaten the wholesomeness and morality and very lives of America's youth. And Linda, quickly before we get on to some of your writings, I want to ask you about this another canard that I hear a lot, especially from like youth pastors at even evangelical churches, churches which purport to follow scriptural teachings. I was in a church a while ago and mentioned Americans for Truth, and the first response of this youth pastor was, well, I think homosexuals get it that Christians hate them. And so he was accepting the thesis that Christians hate homosexuals as opposed to Christians opposing homosexual behavior, but loving people. I mean, every Christian I know, when they see somebody like Michael Glatz, who we interviewed on the show, and you can get that interview at AmericansForTruth.org. He came out of homosexuality. It's a wonderful story. Every Christian I know, their hearts are lifted by testimonies of people who come out of homosexuality, because we love testimony stories of what Christ working in people's lives, regardless of what the sin is.
Right. If you really hated a homosexual, okay, if you would find anybody who's an ex-homosexual as just absolutely repulsive. You'd never go near them. No, we're all ex-something if we're involved in, you know, we're believers. I mean, everybody's got the sin that many sins, most of us, you know, I like to say that the ex-homosexuals are also people who are also probably ex-liars, ex-proud
yes.
people.
We're all works in progress.
Ex-idolaters. I mean, yes, and we can say that about all of our sins. You know, we all have those things. You could just list them. And
so if you're struggling, if you're a homosexual and you're struggling and you gave your life to Christ and you're still struggling, we all struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, I know one of the things you hear from homosexual activists is they prayed to God, they prayed so hard and nothing happened. So then they give up. They throw up that white flag of surrender.
Right.
What would you say to such a person?
What I would say is there's something that's a problem there. Almost always it's that they haven't given up. They really haven't demonstrated to God that they're serious in giving up the friendships, the associations. They haven't given up the online pornography, all the things that will continue to fuel those feelings. If you really are serious and you really believe Jesus Christ died for your sins and that his truth is truth and that it's an abomination and he doesn't want you doing this with your body and that your body was designed beautifully as a male or a female, if you really believe that, everything around your life will change the circumstances. Then you will read and study Scripture, and you should see a growth. Now, it may not be instant, but some progress should be there. But I doubt this real sincerity, frankly, of folks that are doing they say they've seen nothing. They want God to be a genie in a box.
And they have to be repentant.
God doesn't jump to our tune. He's the author of truth. He is the creator of each of us and of the universe. So we need to decide, hey, you're my boss, God. I'm going to do it your way, and I'm going to do it on your timetable. But meanwhile, I'm going to glory in the fact that you've made me this way. There's a lot of other things besides sex in life that I was just sitting up praying this morning, looking at the birds that are in my little bird feeder, and I'm thinking, as a non-Christian, I really never paid a lot of attention to those details. But now I just look at that and I say, God, you are so amazing. You know, there's so much more to love, if you really love God, than to worry about where your sexuality is at that point.
Right, and you can't, create the God of your own liking. You know,
exactly.
I mean, there's a guy, a homosexual activist, and I think it's Ian McKellen. I can't remember his last name. He's a British actor, brilliant actor, and he, I believe this is the guy. Remember this story, Linda, of he went into hotel rooms, and his little act of quote-unquote gay activism was he would go in a hotel room and he would grab the Bible that's in the Gideon's Bible that's in the dresser bedside thing, and he would grab it and go to the Old Testament passages about homosexuality and rip them out of the Bible.
Well,
as if that is going to
changes the word of God.
Yeah, that changes the word of God. You know, we'd all like to rip out pages of the Bible that apply to the particular sins that we struggle with. How many people would like to rip out the gossip passages or rip out the book of James? Hey, that's a tough one.
Or the covetousness. Like, I go shopping and I buy a few things quickly that I don't need. That's my one big thing that I'm racing around going, I think I need that. You know, and I've got this stuff. Then I go home. Did I really need this?
Linda, you did not need those things.
No, I know. And this is a sin, and God's convicting me of how to use my time and resources more wisely. But we all have things, you know. So it's just the idea that we're self-righteous. No, what we have is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Don't you want that too?
Right.
Gosh, think about it. How fabulous that is.
Now, Linda, we've talked before, many times about this new spirituality that's coming in, but it's not just the emergent church. It's also people like somebody we've mentioned a lot on our website, Professor Warren Throckmorton at Grove City College. It's this idea that we can go beyond Scripture and start learning a lot that even when it's antithetical to Scripture, it becomes true to people because, hey, this is the way things really are. And you've written on your website, you actually were one of the leading people countering this Day of Silence, which is the pro-gay event every year in public schools and some private schools. Quickly tell us what the Day of Silence is.
The Day of Silence is it's been about 12 years. It started at the University of Virginia, but then was quickly grabbed onto by the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, the big Kevin Jennings, used to be small organization, and it's been made into a day in April when kids now at the middle school level, it used to be colleges and high schools, now back down into many middle schools, a few even elementary schools, who are will remain silent all day and hand out cards saying, "I'm silent today because of the discrimination, the bullying, the silencing of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, and all that they've suffered." It is I call it a day of grand manipulation by adult activists of vulnerable, tender-hearted kids. You know, there are kids out there who have been bullied, but guess what? Schools can now punish that. You don't have to punish the people that object to homosexuality and that opinion. You can just punish the bullying like you do for every other kind of bad opinion that's out there.
Absolutely. You can punish bullying without promoting homosexuality.
And, right, but the homosexual activists want people to believe, again, that any bad opinion about homosexuality, any objection to homosexuality, anything they don't like, leads to violence. It doesn't. Most people, the vast majority of people, are both kind and object to homosexuality.
I wonder if we could apply their theory in reverse. Any negative thing said about religious conservatives could lead to violence against Christians.
Exactly. What you're ending up is you're ending up with the thought police. That's why liberal ideas quickly get into more and more and more fascist control. You've got to silence people. You can't let certain things be spoken. In fact, that's a pagan idea. That's one of the ideas of witchcraft, frankly, of the idea that to speak it gives it life and meaning. So you want to suppress it and not let it be spoken. I don't know if you've ever made that connection before. I hadn't until I read a couple of the books on witchcraft. I think, wait, that's what the gay activists do.
Well, not just the gay activists, liberal activists. They tend to be, I mean, the totalitarian impulse these days doesn't come from the right. It comes from the left.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know if they're aware that is a pagan spiritual right, again, right from Satan's army of stupid ideas. But to not let something be spoken, no wonder this becomes more and more and more totalitarian in practice. You can't let certain opinions out there. You have to call them, label them hate. The broad category of things that are now being labeled hate is just getting so big that it's getting harder and harder to
I think people are getting the picture.
Yeah.
Now we've got 3 minutes to break. I want you to talk a little bit more about the emergence. But Brian McLaren. Tell us about Brian McLaren.
Brian McLaren is, of course, he's been very heavily involved with Barack Obama, and as all these guys are, Jim Wallis, Tony Campolo.
They endorsed Obama? They heavily promoted his candidacy when he was running?
Right. Okay. Worked for his candidacy and are heavily still involved with them. Brian McLaren...
Linda, one second. So they basically made it easier for Obama to reach out to evangelical Christians. That was sort of their mission.
Right. They worked heavily with the Democratic Party to position a vote for Barack Obama as the most evangelical and serious Christian thing that a person could do. And our kids bought it hook, line, and sinker. That is the reason, basically, they gave the margin of victory to Barack Obama, is these people that have twisted Christianity. Because Brian McLaren does not believe Jesus is the only way to salvation. He's made that clear in various of his writings. He's also very, very... supportive of homosexuality.
Didn't Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me"?
Right.
How does he get around that one?
He does the cafeteria selection of of certain biblical passages that he likes and ignores others. That's what these guys are doing. It's basically back to liberal Christianity that's been practiced for 50 years.
Yes. And what does he teach on sexual issues and homosexuality specifically?
He even goes so far as to say that he believes that probably 6 to 7% of the population has always been homosexual and always will be, and that committed gay relationships are probably fine. I mean, so he is out there, one of these people, again, calling the so-called religious right. He's like Wallace Campolo and everybody. You read their books, and if it wasn't for the so-called religious right that they then manufacture in their minds, they would have nothing to write about. They have to build up this hate, actually very hateful picture of these awful people that you must run away from, and you must not be like these folks that hate homosexuality, that believe Jesus is the only way, that are fighting against Islam, that are, and all the other political agendas of the left.
So the emergent leaders become sort of useful idiots in bashing biblical Christians.
Biblical Christians, and they become useful idiots for all of the left-wing political goals.
Right. Okay, we're talking to Linda Harvey, the founder of Mission America. Her website is missionamerica.com. I'm with Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute with our last part of our interview, part two, with Linda Harvey. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We're a group that opposes the homosexual activist, bisexual, transgender movement, which is trying to radically redefine morality in our society. They're trying to impose the acceptance of homosexuality through the government, a very dangerous movement. And we're in the last segment of part two of our interview with Linda Harvey, who is one of my personal heroes and the founder of MissionAmerica.com. Linda, we're talking about the emergent church. Here in Chicago, we've got a guy named Andy Marin who purports to witness to homosexuals in Chicago. He has gone on evangelical radio, and he just spoke recently at Wheaton College. And Andy, I just think Andy's a little bit confused because he seems to want to have it both ways. In his outreach to homosexuals, he's very reticent to say anything critical of homosexual behavior, and yet he's sort of like a chameleon because I was on a radio show with him in which he said I was a hero. So he obviously, in his mind, still believes in orthodoxy, and yet he has gone so far as to call for a moratorium on preaching against homosexuality in churches.
Wow.
Even inside churches. So they don't want us to speak out in public, in the public square. And now some of these liberal Christians are saying, hey, don't even speak against homosexuality in churches because that's going to make it harder for us to reach out to gays and show how much we love them.
Well, you know, this is just to me, this is one more manifestation of, in the emergent churches like this, of the me-centered focus of our culture that has led down into Christianity. Everything basically has to be interpreted through what will make me feel good or not feel good. And so many of these folks who are desperate to be supposedly kind to homosexuals have forgotten that, first of all, every person out there is offended by something when people talk about sin. It's not just the homosexuals who will walk out of churches and say, I don't want to hear that anymore. It's all kinds of people, because that's what sin is. It convicts us, okay, number one. And number two, you get into this whole idea that, homosexuality is all about redeeming that particular person, and then everything else is needs to be subverted to that goal. When you like I have looked at the homosexual activist movement, no, there's two goals. Yes, we want to convert that person, but in the meantime, we got to stop the damage they're doing to other people through their lies, through their deception, especially through their spiritual deception and the unchristian material that they are disseminating to our kids, to others, the sexual sin they're leading kids into. You have to restrain that. So you have to talk tough with people and say, this is what these folks are saying. This is why it's a lie. Don't believe it. Yeah, if we could redeem all these homosexual activist people out there, wonderful. But in the meantime, you got to stop the damage they're doing to all the others out there.
Well, you know, I mentioned Warren Throckmorton, who's the professor at Grove City College. You had written about how he distorts the golden rule. And so there's this idea, and he talks about how so-called conservative Christians vilify homosexuals. But actually, we're doing what we're doing. Is this vilification what we're engaged in right here?
No, because if you listen to what people are saying, what people like us that we say, I say throughout my website, it's not homosexuals. It's other than their actions. No one. This is not an identity you have to stay with.
There's no basis in the Bible for gay or
identity.
A homosexual identity. It's what you're doing and the need to change.
You can change. We know ex-homosexual activists. I mean, there are people that were in the activist part of the community, and you can repent of that behavior and leave it, and that is the absolutely most wonderful thing that could ever happen. But what we need to do in the meantime, though, is lawfully, but stop these people in the public square by preaching, by teaching, by educating people about the real facts, both from a Christian standpoint and from a political public policy standpoint of what they're doing. But Warren Throckmorton, okay, he put out this thing on the Golden Rule Day,
which was a response to the Day of Silence.
Day of Silence, and what he basically did was reposition the Golden Rule to affirm homosexual identity. He's just bought into the gay agenda. I can't even say it more strongly enough. Everything he writes confirms that he believes there is an inborn homosexual, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered.
Or at least an inherent identity. You show the Golden Rule by recognizing kids. They want to be recognized as gay, and so you sort of affirm that. Now, I don't think that's tough love. I think that's, you know, there's truth and love, and if you have all so-called love and you're short on truth, that's not real love.
Well, it's a big lie. He is doing great, grave damage to children by saying to them, what he's basically said in that deal is that there is credibility to this idea that there's an inborn identity, even for cross-dressing, transgender. He thinks that's an inborn identity, and that there is credibility to the claim that bullying is rampant and is unpunished. By the way, there is the hard data on that is missing. It's absent out in Alameda County, California. They recently dropped a bullying curriculum because there were no incidents of sexual orientation bullying that they could find.
Well, they're creating a big problem. Now, Linda, we've got 3.5 minutes left, and we're running out of time, but I want you to comment. You write very beautifully on your website. You analyze books, some of these pro-gay books or dubious books. Talk about for a minute about the book Bright Purple by Melody Carlson, because there's a review of it in your book. It's called Is It Christian or Is It Heresy at missionamerica.com. And you're very adept at showing how this book is sort of a microcosm of all the false teachings and thinking that's coming into evangelical Christianity on this issue.
Yeah, this really disturbed me because I thought, as a Christian author, I thought I had found a book that maybe would deal with the issue of homosexuality in among youth, and that we, you know, could have some truth. And you get about 2/3 of the way through the book, and you're thinking, oh, you know, there's a girl who comes out as homosexual, and her best friend, who's a Christian, first of all, she sort of distances herself from her, then she asks her forgiveness and says, I'm sorry. They have these discussions, but then eventually it winds down into they bring in a youth pastor, and he starts chastising this Christian girl and then all her friends for coming down hard on homosexuality. He basically gives credibility to the idea of a gay identity, and it ends up right where so much of this current political correctness is that the Christians who criticize homosexuality are much, much, much worse than the abomination of the sin itself.
So Christians hating homosexuals, that's the problem. Not so much the people practicing homosexuality.
Well, and of course, as we know, that most of these people that speak the truth about homosexuality don't hate homosexuals. They're simply speaking hard truths to people who need to hear them most of the time. Not that there isn't a cruelty out there and uncivil behavior. There is, but the vast majority of what offends people is just simple fact stating. And that's what they come down on this book. So this is a Christian author, Melody Carlson, very popular, lots of books. And like so much, if you don't read the whole book, you will not end up where she ends up, which is basically slap in the hands of the Christian kids who tried to tell this girl, who was sexually abused, by the way, in the book, and they never make that connection.
Yeah, they don't make the connection between sexual abuse and then a lesbian identity.
And later homosexuality. So
it's incredible.
It's so deceptive. It ends up being, I'm like screaming by the end of this book. It was going in such a good place, and then it just took a side road and went off into heresy.
Right. And there are many kids who come, even in Christian homes, they come to home from school, tell their parents, "Mom, Dad, you're such a homophobe."
Right. In this book, the
45 seconds, Linda, so we're going to have to finish it here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the problem we're seeing, is that Christians even are buying into this false guilt over the issue of homosexuality. Linda, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Peter, for all you do.
Well, thank you for what you do. Linda's website is missionamerica.com. I encourage you to go there. Our website is americansfortruth.org. Please go there, support our ministry so we can do more of these interviews with frontline warriors like Linda Harvey, and do what you can to resist this pro-homosexual, pro-transgender agenda in whatever you can do. There's information at our website at americansfortruth.org, americansfortruth.org. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.